It's obviously been a long time since we've had an oiling the wheels service, so that Rachel has forgotten this is not about me sharing what I've learnt, but an opportunity for us all to look together into a passage of scripture. Last week we had a panel of three of us. This week it's like you're all on the panel, because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to hear from God through his word. So we are going to be looking at that same story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So if you want to grab a Bible, there should be plenty. I did sort them out. We're in John 13. And Eileen, I'm hoping that you can give us a picture. There should be a short PowerPoint. John 13. The title of this style of service that we've done before, Oiling the Wheels, has often shed a new light on Scripture. And so I was thinking, well, what's oiling the wheels got to do with Jesus washing the disciples' feet? And this was as close as I could find. If you don't find that picture or the title of the service helpful, ignore it. It really doesn't matter. What we want to do is hear what the Lord is saying to us as a congregation and to us as individuals through his word. Oil, if you remember, reminds us of the work of the Holy Spirit, his lubricating work, his preserving work, his anointing work, and his cleansing work. Those of you who remember your school lessons, the ancient people, the ancient Romans and Greeks, used to use oil as instead of soap. They smothered themselves with oil and then they scraped back. It was a way of cleansing themselves. So maybe that's helpful. I was thinking, you know, in our time, since COVID, we have sanitizer. When you come into a new place, you have to, or you're supposed to, I don't know how many of us do, but sanitize your hands so that you don't pass on germs. Well, maybe that's a more helpful picture for you to have in your mind of what Jesus is doing to the disciples. He's making them, well, I don't want to tell you. I want you to work it out. So we'll have the next slide, please. Several of us have done a Lectio Divina course, which is about looking at Scripture as if we were part of that scene, so that we can use our imaginations, use the ideas that we come with, use the pictures that we are given, to enrich that scripture and to really listen to what God is saying through it. So let's read the passage, John 13, and I thought we'd just limit ourselves, I'd limit myself anyway, to verses 3 to 17. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped the towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a bowl and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Well, then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So let that passage sit in your mind. Reread it and see whether there are any of those thoughts, those ideas, those words that resonate, that are highlighted for you. Perhaps that came out afresh as I read it, or as you read it now, silently. Maybe you've seen a new relevance to them this morning. And then I've got some questions to help us to look deeper. So is anyone brave enough to share their initial thoughts? Or maybe you could answer this first question, which will come up in a minute, which is to think about what we learn about Jesus' character from this story. You do not have to be a theologian to answer this. Everybody's insights are valuable.
Started in verse 3, didn't we? And it kind of basically says Jesus knew who he was and who God had made him. And therefore, it kind of like went on from that. So it's almost like it's from his identity and his identity in God. Although obviously Jesus is a bit different from us, but like from that source was actually where he could serve and show them what actually we were meant to be doing.
Thank you. Yes, that confidence that Jesus had.
I quite liked the last couple of verses and the bit about 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And it was the doing and getting on with it. That's when you get the blessing. That kind of jumped out to me.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful. And that was often how Jesus's healing miracles worked, wasn't it? That you actually only knew the healing when you did something about it, when you went and washed or whatever. Anybody else? I'll come to you next, Lynn.
Thank you. Well, considering the fact that he was God and that he was divine and that he knew he was going to the cross, yet he took a towel and he became the lowest of the low in that house. He took the place of a servant, and to have a servant's heart like that, to be prepared to wash stinking feet, was amazing. I don't know if you've ever washed anybody's feet. I don't like feet particularly. They're not pretty, they're not attractive, and some are bony and some have carbuncles on them, and you know, they're really horrible. And your toenails can be, it's true, isn't it? They're horrible, and yet the Lord knelt down and he took their feet in his hands and he washed them. Amazing.
Thank you.
I want to echo really what Lisa was saying, because I was struck by the same thought that despite Jesus knowing he was the Son of God, he was very humble. And it made me think, you know, there aren't many people in our society today in places of importance or power who have that same humility. Ever such a lot of them, sad to say, strut about and lord it over other people. I won't name any names. I'm sure we can all think of some. But his was a totally different attitude. It was an attitude of absolute humility and wanting to serve in order to bless.
Can I go back to Lisa? Louisa, sorry, mental block, senior moment. Louisa's comment about still knowing, but going back to that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things. And I just struck me, do we know that we are children of God? Because there is, not to plump us up and make us proud and again strut around, as we said, but do we always know that when we're feeling a bit low? Do we remember and know that God has chosen us and we are his children, and that gives us dignity or whatever we want, but a sense of belonging. We are children of God.
Thank you. I was sort of thinking that some of those disciples have been to the wedding at Cana, and I was thinking, you know, when John gives us a very clear you know, eighth step of what Jesus was doing. He made it very extraordinary out of very ordinary things. You know, he stood up, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel round him, he poured water in a bowl, washed the disciples' feet, dried them with a towel, put his garment on again and resumed his place at the table. You know, eight fairly ordinary, unremarkable things that were clearly significant to John because he wrote them in his account. And I sort of wondered whether they were expecting, I don't know, the foot water to turn into wine, or whether they were expecting some sort of miracle, something transformational.
I was just thinking, sorry, don't worry about the mic.
Okay. Well, you have got a nice clear voice, so that's fine.
Okay. I think to me it recalled words in the hymns. Sorry, Alien, meekness and majesty, where it talks about Christ washing the disciples' feet, and also the servant king. And in the Bible, we see so many references to the Lord's greatness and His majesty. And here we see He gives a very clear example, like our use of pictures to help us understand things. He in person is giving an example of His position, and He's trying to explain that He has come to serve. And this is the example He gives the disciples. It's a very, very striking that God is there amongst them, washing their feet.
Thank you.
Okay, Eileen, let's have a look at the next question. Jesus said His followers would understand later. So I wonder, do we understand what He was doing when He washed their feet and said that they didn't need a bath because they'd had a bath already? That's it. Jesus said His followers would understand later. Do we?
Is it something to do with the dailiness rather than... To me, even more than daily, if your feet get really dirty, but just the coming back to God for those things that are happening every moment, rather than the big things. And I guess, Jesus hadn't died then, had He? So, the redemption, as it were, the big stuff, and then the everyday stuff is kind of how I understand it.
Thanks, Rachel. I also wonder, so Ninny pointed out that there's this bit, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So I wonder if there's a bit of, if you actually go out and do it, then you'll understand. And I suspect that's a big part of it.
Thank you.
It says about the bath, I'm just thinking that's sort of total, isn't it? And like when we come to faith, that's Jesus completely washing away our sins. And when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. But because we're here and we're simple and we're in the world, a bit like Ninny was saying, it's a constant washing of our feet, so bringing our sins and asking for forgiveness every day.
Yes, if we're going to walk the dusty streets, we're going to get dirty, aren't we?
They didn't understand at that point what the point that Jesus was making about being a servant, but they also didn't understand many, many things. And they didn't understand until after the crucifixion, until He was risen from the dead, and until Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And it was, I believe, it was through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that they realized the relevance of the Old Testament scriptures and the fullness of who Jesus was. It was revelation of the Holy Spirit. Up until then, they saw an amazing man who would perform miracles, but they really did not understand it. But I think the Holy Spirit opened their eyes at Pentecost, which is what we're aiming towards.
Thank you. I'm just going on from what Margot said. I just look at that part where Jesus said, and you are clean. And I thought, it's so amazing that Jesus, because of what He did, looks at us and says, you are clean.
Yes, I'm very aware that my feet are often dirty, and I'm so pleased that the Lord has cleansed my heart. But I do still need Him to wash my feet. Okay, our third and final question. How should we wash one another's feet at Hebron? What does this mean?
In this passage, it tells us that Jesus just got started washing their feet. He didn't go up to them and say, right, you, Thomas, can I wash your feet? Is that okay? Thomas was like, no. You know, Jesus just got on with it. And I've learned a lot from my sister-in-law, who, when people need help, doesn't go around and ask, can I help? What can I do? What do you need? Which makes it awkward for people. She just gets on with helping. And I see something that, you know, that Jesus just gets on with doing what needs to be done.
Thank you.
This is where the wheels bit comes in, of oiling the wheels. It's about how we move forward with this scripture passage. It's not supposed to just be a interesting story or a nice demonstration. It's supposed to change us.
I was thinking a little bit that sometimes we think about what are our gifts, what are our talents, and where we can use them, where they can be used by God and in the church and elsewhere. I was thinking, well, obviously, if we were looking at Jesus, we'd be like, oh, right, so he's a leader, he's a speaker, he's a healer, he's all these things. So he'd say, that's where he's gifting us. And, like, you know, really, Peter's being like, you know, you shouldn't be doing this because you're my teacher, you're my Lord. But, you know, we might look around and be like, oh, okay, you know, you've got this and you've got this, and that's where you should be. But actually, Jesus is showing that actually it's not just about just going along with your gifts. Actually, there's a, like, a hard graft maybe part of it. That was just what struck me a little bit. I don't know if that's useful.
Moving the chairs or doing the washing up or whatever those other things are.
It's a gradual process. There's still more for us to improve on, and we can pray about that. But I feel that through the Lord's grace, we have been changed, and I probably see more of people in this fellowship than I do of my family, and it's lovely. I think we are a community that do care for each other, and metaphorically, we do wash each other's feet.
Yes, I totally agree with you. But I think there's more that we've got to to learn, and we've got to go deeper. I mean, how are we helping each other deal with the SHIT that we walk amongst? You know, how are we helping each other deal with those things in us that we perhaps don't normally bring to church? You know, the things that we leave behind, where we know that we are letting the Lord down, and the sin. It's hard to admit it. And, you know, though we're authentic when we come, we tend to edit the authenticity. We tend to leave some of the dirt behind. But God wants to deal with all of it.
Again,
this is a conversation, that's fine.
In the way that God leads us, because sometimes we can perhaps rush in when perhaps it may be that the timing isn't right as far as God's timing is concerned. And I feel we are praying to be led and taken forward. But I give thanks for the fact that we are where we are. We can always want more, but I think it's, and we can't
sort of fix all the world's problems. All we can do with the grace of God is to walk alongside people as the opportunity arises, or seek to get involved and to show support and love to that person according to the circumstances that are there. So I feel yes, there's real tragedy in the world, but I feel perhaps it's I still feel it's time to give thanks that the Lord has trusted us to do what he's led us to do, and we've been obedient, but we feel, based on that there is more, and we are waiting in expectation. So that's how I, maybe I'm cutting myself a little bit too much slack, but all the fellowship, but for the group here, I think everybody contributes, and I think it's wonderful.
It is.
As an observer of what's going on here.
Thank you. Just sort of wonder if there's sort of two things in this passage, because there's the one that Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, which is, and then says about the bath, which we said is, Jesus' total cleansing, but then the need for forgiveness daily. And then it says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you, which I take that rather than the literal, like, washing people's feet or washing other people's sin, because only God can do that. That the fact that Jesus became the servant, he who was great became humble, and that's the bit that we should be doing and serving one another. And the bit of the washing the feet for the sin is something that we do as an individual with God, and don't necessarily have to divulge that to all in sunder. But so that, I know it's interesting just listening to Jane, and then I thought, actually there are two bits here, aren't there? And anyway,
but there are times we have to forgive each other, aren't there?
Absolutely, yes. I think there's struggle if somebody offered to wash my feet or try and help me. And I think there's a little bit that in Peter's reaction as well, of accepting help from other people when it is offered. And I think there's also, if people are going to serve, then you think you also need to be open to be being served, if that makes sense.
Thank you, that's really important. I did do a little bit of thinking. Could I just have the last slide? And I wonder if any of these pictures might also give us some deeper understanding, or maybe our look at Jesus washing the disciples' feet gives us a bit of a better picture of some of these things, either the anointing of Jesus' feet at Bethany, or in Simon the Pharisee's house. I thought about Moses when he took his sandals off, because the ground he was standing on when he saw the burning bush, God said, that's holy ground. And obviously Jesus having his feet nailed to that cross. The little obscure picture of blood being put on the toe down in the corner, you need to read Leviticus 8. It's a part of the ordination process. Don't need to do it now. Part of the ordination and anointing process for the priests. And Aaron and his descendants. And obviously Mary clinging to Jesus' feet after his resurrection. I hadn't realised quite how important feet are They are not just the frayed ends of our legs, in God's view. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was trying to find the verse earlier where it says, Jesus said, you are clean through the words I've spoken to you. And through the word of God in our hearts, that actually makes us clean. And we can serve each other by speaking to each other the words God gives us. And it's in Ephesians it says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I'm not quite up to that musicality yet, but, you know. But when you're and it says, and that's as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God dwells in you, the words that you speak to, you know, people and brothers and sisters and everybody are going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And often you'll find yourself, you may not even be aware of it, but you'll just be saying the words they need to hear. And that God works in our hearts that way. So we need to spend time with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit and serve each other that way.
Okay, this is entirely random, but it's to do with feet, and it felt random at the time. Rory told me last night, as I was putting him to bed, he told me that his feet were lost, with his feet right in front of him. He was like, my feet are lost. And we were praying at the time, so I kind of made that as part of our prayer, but I just wondered whether that was a random word for anyone, because I just thought it was very random that he'd said it last night, and we're talking about feet today.
Wow, we have a little prophet, do we? In Rory, who knows? Right, let's just pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you for this story. We do thank you, Lord, that John thought it so significant that it was written in his gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've spoken about this morning. Help us to hear that. Lord, to hear the bits that you are speaking into our hearts, whether that's about being willing to serve others as we've been served by you, or whether it's being willing to have our feet washed, even though we're embarrassed. Lord, help us to take your word and to live it out. Lord, to indeed follow your example and respond, Lord, to your pampering of us. Help us, Lord, to remember to sanitize, Lord, and when we enter your domain, Lord, but also help us, Lord, to take your love outside, Lord, to those who need to hear your words of encouragement and refreshing and your words of cleansing. Amen.